This is an ABC podcast.
Roots and Shoots with Amber and Sabrina on ABC Radio Perth and WA and the ABC Listener.
Welcome back to you, favourite person in the universe.
Amber.
People from other galaxies as well.
Oh, I've missed you.
I've missed you too.
I've missed playing with all our beautiful, beautiful listeners.
Yeah.
But I'm back.
She's back.
And it's summer.
And guess who we've got with us?
Oh, I brought along a wingman today.
Yeah.
I can say wingman because he actually is of the male gender. As far as
and
I know.
He likes things, little things.
He loves things with wings. So yes. We've brought in our favourite Dr. Bugalugs, Daryl Hardy.
Morning, ladies.
Good morning.
I'm almost prepared for you.
How do you prepare? It's like a colonoscopy preparation.
No, lots of self-medication.
At this time of the morning. Well, I can endorse that kind of behaviour. Daryl, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
He's been in the news a lot. So becoming a bit of a personality. A personality now.
Yeah, well,
we're talking about bloody flies and beetles and spiders and just trying to calm everyone down, I would say, with very sensible.
What are people panicked about?
Well, apparently there's a lot of flies. Go to Carrageenie in October if you want to see a lot of flies. People are worried about spiders, which are really cute and lovely. And some of the spiders I've seen in my garden lately are actually really sweet looking, and they have beautiful little headlight eyeballs that just kind of look at you and go, oh, don't kill me, I'm so sweet. And beetles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Christmas beetles.
Yes.
And then you have the fart bum. Beetles.
Yeah. Well, they're long gone, hopefully.
Yeah. Are they stink bugs?
No, they're a beetle.
Yeah, it's a defensive mechanism. So about a month ago, Geraldton, as things start to dry off, all the insects want to survive and they go to greener pastures. And, you know, people irrigate in Geraldton, which causes it to stay a bit greener than the rest of the desert up there. So they all flew into Geraldton and they squirt out this sort of noxious
mustard gas type thing.
Yeah, the smell out of there. They've got little glands on their abdomen.
Same.
Yeah. But you're not green. Or as cute as a beetle.
And you hold yourself with such decorum don't drop anything out of those little glands.
I'm very concerned about what might next pop out of my mouth, and I think I need to hand it over to the audience. If you have critter questions, your critter man is here.
Yeah.
So don't hold back. 0437 922 720 on the text or 1300 222 720 on the phone. Margie has called in. Good morning, Margie.
Good morning, girls.
Hello, Margie.
Morning. Perfect day to ring, I think, because mine is a bug problem.
Oh, sensational. Okay, fire away.
To do with azaleas. So I had very large azalea, been in a pot, sharing a pot with a camellia of all things for about 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
I removed it. I put it into another large pot by itself. How much do I prune it back? How much foliage do I need to keep on it? Some of the canes are about the size, the thickness of my index finger, but there are little shoots coming from the bottom. Do I need to take off all of that greenery at the top?
This is in your league.
Me?
Yeah.
Why? Because it's been transplanted?
No. No, because I'm going to set you to work immediately.
Oh, well, yeah.
And I'm just trying to get you to have a crack.
Oh, well, it depends on how much of the root ball you got along with it too. That's the thing.
I got all of it. I think I got all of it.
What? Right.
It went in, I did it about 10 days ago. So right. Far, all the foliage that's still on it looks okay.
Good.
It's sitting in semi-shade. It's being watered. Well, but can I cut it back more?
I'm going to try a number, and we'll see what response we get from Sabrina's face. Okay. I'm going to say take a third of the old foliage off.
That's because he's listened to the program many times. I would concur with Dr. Hardy. I think a third would be a champ. Actually, do you know what? Yeah, oh, it's in the shade. It's always risky when it's going to be 40 degrees taking anything off a plant.
Got to keep the water up to it too.
Yeah, so if it's in the shade, you give it some water every day, no more than a third. That was on the tip of Daryl's tongue. And it should be okay.
As long as it doesn't start dropping leaves, then you know you've got a bit of a problem.
Have you got a bug question for Sabrina now, Margie?
I do. On another azalea, another very large one, still in the pot, but doing okay.
Yeah.
It has got sticky cobwebs on it, clumping the leaves together. The leaves look fine. Some of the leaves are dropping, but they're just old leaves. But the cobwebs are sort of almost octagonal. They're not your average cobweb. Is it a bug?
It's not a spider, by the sound. I don't think it'd be a spider, would it?
No, probably not. And it's probably a bit early for mites because it hasn't been warm enough. So it could be like a
lace bug? No, wrong time.
Exactly,
a
lace bug. You'd see all the leaves. There'd just be veins left. So it could be another small caterpillar. I'm going caterpillar.
Yeah. I concur with Dr. Hardy. It's the last time I'm going to call you that.
Would the leaves not be eaten though if it was a caterpillar?
Just unroll those leaves, and you'll probably find it's curled the leaves up, and it's in there protecting itself. It's
or
like
pupating.
A case moth, but there's other ones that do other things apart from forming a case. It's a protective thing, so it may have pupated in there. Yes.
So it's made itself a little.
Do I spray it or not?
Oh, I don't spray things.
Well, you could use a nice spray.
Well, just with neem oil or something.
What's a nice spray, Daryl?
Just go with a BT. It's nice and safe.
So there's a. But if it's inside a case, it's not going to do anything.
Yeah, but if it's pupated, it's not going to work. But
it's like watching a tennis match in here.
If it's a grub, it'll come out to feed probably at night, won't
it? This is true. It's very true.
So, and when it comes out to feed, the foliage has got the BT on it, and it gets ingested, and it dies if its gut pH is right. Sometimes BT doesn't work because the gut pH is wrong. It's activated by pH.
Yeah, don't ever try that with a caterpillar with diabetes.
What does BT stand for?
Bacillus thuringiensis. Do you really want to know any more?
It's a bacteria.
Yeah, it's an endotoxin protein.
It only affects caterpillars.
I was thinking it might be benzodiazepam.
No, that's self-medication. Yeah. It's found naturally in dirt. Yeah, but it's been grown up in like you're brewing beer.
Margie, what you need to do is go to the shop and get a bacteria spray for caterpillars. Or tell them beet.
So my only query is that I don't see any curled up leaves at all.
No, you may not, but they might be just putting it on the... Anyway, I'd give that a shot. Might make you feel better.
Okay. Yeah, or trim it off.
Bacteria, or just prune it off.
Or trim it off, yeah. Yep. Prune it off.
Bacteria spray for caterpillars.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Margie.
Jenny is in Como. Who's your question for, Jenny? Margie or...
We could bring Margie back.
Margie back.
Poor Amber. I've only been back 5 minutes and I've already rattled a brain.
I was hoping to ask a question, Sabrina, of you. In August, we planted a native garden, and being inexperienced gardeners, we went to our local nursery and got advice on how to prepare the soil, all the things that we need to do to successfully plant this garden. So, and they gave us advice on plant selection and garden design, so we've put in Wistringia, Coria, Stars of Africa, Grevillea, Apricot Glow, Alaria, and a lovely ground cover, Myoporum.
Yep.
So in general, the garden's doing really, really well. We've had a little bit of plant loss, and now we've got a couple more that are looking really shaky. So we went back to the nursery and said, you know, we're doing the right things. And they've advised us that we should be watering twice a day, and we should build a shade structure over the garden. And that's what I'm asking of you. I was really surprised by this because I thought, you know, native gardens, sure, you know, we need to establish them and generally doing well, but I thought twice a day watering?
Nah, I think I personally would not have given that advice. You definitely don't need to put shade cloth over it, Jenny.
Oh,
now, when the plants that you put in, were they in tube stock or were they in 130ml pots, like bigger pots?
The bigger pots.
Okay.
Yes.
So, now, if you water twice a day, they've probably told you that because in a nursery, all plants get watered this time of the year. They have to water them twice a day because they're confined in a pot. And they've only got that much soil. So If it's 40 degrees, I would go out and water them in the morning, but you shouldn't need to water that native garden more than once a day. Max, I would go, you know, if it's down, if temperatures go down in the 20s, once every 2 days. So, no. Now, you will always get loss. We always factor in 20% loss of 10 to 20% loss of plants that are put in over summer. Oh, golden orb. So don't water twice a day, because what will happen is they're only small and the root system's not big and they'll end up getting root rot. So,
right, okay.
Yeah.
Yes, I was worried about it and thought I didn't think it was right. So, of course, I thought I'll ring Sabrina.
Oh, very wise, Jenny. So, look, you will get some plant loss. All the plants that you've put in are fantastic choices, Jenny. They're very tough. But over this weekend, go out and just give them a bit of water every morning, but not twice a day.
No. Yep. Okay, that's fabulous. Thanks so much, Sabrina.
Okay, thanks, Jenny.
Thanks, Jenny. We've just shown Dr. Bugalugs Daryl Hardy a photograph of a spider, which is why Sabrina said golden orb in the middle of a sentence.
Yeah.
And stole your thunder.
Well, it's okay. However, but no. I don't think it is. No, it's
Peter in Kensington is asked
always,
what it is.
These are great spiders. They used to be a lot of them around. The magpies and the water birds like eating them. They pop them out of the webs, but they come out at night. As children, we used to call them night spiders.
Oh,
I'm just rattling my brain to try and work out what it is. But they come out, they spin the, you'll love this, Amber, they spin the web like in your carport, and when you come out to get the paper the next day,
I can't even look at it.
Then you walk through the web because the spider's gone and hidden, and it just...
And then you do a month's worth of cardio in 30 seconds.
That's right, yeah.
Here we are. Night spider, but they don't tell you what the night spider is.
Yeah.
Was that just your name?
It's definitely a night spider, but we need to know what the name of a night spider is.
That does look like a golden orb, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's
orb weavers. Garden orb weavers. All right. Peter from Kensington, we're on it.
Yep.
Daryl
will look. He'll look up the night spider. It's beautiful. Please. And what about the spiders that just have one single? They're like the jumping spiders. I have one single strand, and I walk through them every morning, and I feel really bad because you know they've done that overnight. And of course, jumping spiders are they're like the cutie spiders. They're the cutest spiders. I didn't know that. Assassin bugs kill spiders.
Well, they assassinate anything. They can get a little stabber in. Yeah.
They creep
what
up.
What is an assassin bug?
Well that's exactly it. They
a bug and they assassinate.
And they pierce the spider at the back of the head and they inject this fluid that makes the whole body go to mush. And then they have a straw and they suck up the internals of... See, entomology, I wish I would have studied entomology because I'm so getting into, well, spiders in particular.
I got into trouble last time I got thinking about bugs.
Let's have another call while Daryl's doing some work
Deb's
here.
Deb's transplanting some wisteria. Good morning, Deb.
Good morning, girls. How are you doing?
Yeah, great. Good, Deb.
Look, I've made a big mistake.
Oh,
I've planted these beautiful wisterias next to the house.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people do. Many people do.
I know, but the roots are heading for the slab. So they have to go. So we were going to just chop them off. And then we thought, well, maybe we can transplant them. They've been in for probably 7-8 years. So they're pretty big.
Yeah, you can.
Can I?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not what I'd call the ideal time to do any transplanting.
No, not now.
Not now. But if you want to do that once it's dropped all its leaves, they transplant really well, Deb.
Ah, that's what I need to do.
No problem whatsoever. Yep.
Oh, really? Really? Mm-hmm. Do I chop it right down to nothing?
Not to nothing. Leave about a metre. If you can, one or 2 metres, get as much root system as you possibly can. Put them in a nice hole with some poo and some compost and some wetting agent and, they'll flourish.
Excellent, because they're really just a big weed, aren't they?
Sort of, yeah. Yeah.
Everything cool. is.
They can certainly get carried away. Okay, thanks,
Deb. Good luck with that, Deb. Sarah is in Lake Grace. Hi, Sarah.
Good morning, everyone. How are you?
Very well, Sarah.
Question for you. Mm-hmm. I've got two lemon trees. Been in the ground for 4 years. They bud up and look really well, flower lovely, the buds look healthy, and then all of a sudden they turn black. And shrivel up and die and drop off.
This actually, so as part of a transition into 2026, any lemon tree questions now, I'm going to pass on to Daryl. This is I think this is a new thing that we should do for next year, Amber. What do you
reckon? Hand the baton to someone whose expertise is not citrus.
Why does everybody have lemon issues? I'll say one thing about lemons. I've just noticed recently the fruit fly getting in my lemons at the moment, by the way. Yeah, I know. So it's hit and miss. But the citrus leaf miner has disappeared. I don't find it anymore.
Well, I do. I can assure you.
Good. Well, I'm
going to be my next question. My other lemon tree has
Okay.
Leaves.
So I reckon, Daryl, you put in your 5 cents.
I'll go nutrition.
You're on a high wage here when you come into the
ABC. A high way to hell, I'd say. I would say it's a nutrition problem. Is it a young lemon tree?
It's been in the ground for 4 years and it's in sandy soil and I put sheep manure around it and it's got straw as mulch.
So it's the fruits, the blossoms are falling off?
No, the blossom's fine and then it turns into the bud and it looks really healthy and a week later it goes black and shrivels up.
Decision issue.
Black,
yeah, because the it's been cut off any nutrients.
It's on a dry run.
So I reckon it's. I'll go just say trace element. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I reckon trace elements. Yeah. And also, people use sheep poo like it's a fertilizer. It's
don't you just roll in it, put it everywhere? And
I do. I love it. The best sheep poo is when you put the sheep poo through a mulcher.
I thought you were going to say through a sheep.
Well, that also increases the nutrient value. So I would add in compost and a little bit of clay just to hold the moisture in, trace elements, and put a fertilizer on it and prune it. Elements spray.
Chelates.
Chelates, because it's taken in through the
magnesium and
taken
like
in through the leaf tissue rather than waiting for 6 weeks for it to take it in through the root system.
Go for a quick fix.
Yep.
So with the sheep. Right. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah.
With this sheep poo in the mulcher.
Yeah.
Don't stand
in
the way
of
the mulcher.
Small batches in my Thermomix.
I used to make up this bug juice in the blender, but I had a blender just for bugs where I'd catch bugs, put them in a blender
and blend them up. What do you do with them?
Yeah, and then spray it on the plants because all the pheromones or whatever's in that bug gets certainly extracted when you put it in a blender. So you blend it up with some water, couple of drops of dishwashing liquid, and then you spray it on the plants that they're eating.
And it scares them off.
Well, all the cousins come along and they go, oh, no, there's George and Frederick and Mary
and Aunt Dorothy.
All my family, they're sort of in bits all over the plant. I'm not going to go there.
Okay.
This is the theory. Now, getting back to citrus leaf miner.
Yes. Mine's none this year.
I got hammered. But I just cut off the leaves.
Yeah, I don't worry about it because I don't have any now.
No, they've all come to my place, Daryl.
That's good.
Thank you very much.
Have you got the citrus gall wasp at your place yet?
No, because no one around me has citrus trees, apart from my neighbour who doesn't look after
anything. They're not strong flyers.
No, so I said to her...
you go to the roundup at night and take out all the citrus in the neighbourhood.
No, I said, how about I take out your lemon tree and buy you a nice native plant that brings the birds in? Because if she got it, she wouldn't know and she wouldn't look after it. Right. I'd have to.
Yeah.
So I took out her lemon tree and gave her a lovely
native plant.
WA Christmas tree.
So the galls will come shortly.
I see. Not in my garden.
No. So it's for the people. So late January, early February, that's when you prune your trees, citrus trees, prune the galls out. If it's a big tree, if it's a small tree, it's hard because it just goes backwards. Mm. But prune it in late January and then fertilise it. You'll get a summer spurt and growth spurt, and then fertilise again mid to late autumn, and that the way you'll get foliage that won't have citrus gall wasp in it.
I want to read this text out from our lovely audience. This is where the gang help each other out. Meredith from Narrogin has texted. She says, a thank you a couple of weeks ago. I texted in with an earwig invasion, and a lovely listener from Crossman messaged me with what she did in a similar predicament. Many thanks to her as her traps are working.
So earwig traps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there was cans and things.
Oh, because Mark must have been doing the programming.
No, but it was someone in the audience who had that. Yeah. So just like, right. Oh, hopefully that person is listening and they know.
What would be an earwig trap?
Well, in broadacre situations, we've used earwig traps. They're just pieces of carpet squares,
mm-hmm.
and you wet them underneath and put them down, and they come out. At night,
yeah,
and the forage ran, and they don't want to dehydrate, so they go back under these mats at during the day to sort of stop them dehydrating and dying or desiccating, I should say.
Okay,
yeah. So that's
and then
a simple
what do you
trap.
Do with them?
Well,
you lift
we just
the
lift
carpet.
Them up and count them and see if the chemical killed them or not. So that's our sampling method. That's what we used to do.
Right, right. But not actually eradicate them.
No, no. Eradicate's hard.
Was it the person that rang in said soya sauce? They made traps with soya sauce.
They used that as an attractant.
Yeah. So, all right, and they drop cans. In and tin can dropped down at ground level
Meredith,
probably.
Maybe you could text back and tell us what it was so
that'd
that we
be
can
lovely.
Spread the great news.
Marvellous.
Sarah is in Darlington. Hi, Sarah.
Oh, hello. Yes. Hi, Sabrina.
Hello, Sarah.
I better get out. There's plenty of whip sniffing going on, so I better come inside.
Okay.
A bunch of different bush tucker. And I'm just a bit nervous about our summer sun. Like two of them have already started to crisp up a bit. I sprayed some solar guardy stuff on some of them and put those pop-up shelters on them.
Yep.
But I suppose I wanted some general advice about whether they're really more suitable to the, you know, more eastern states.
What are they?
I've got the maroon bush.
That's pretty hardy. That's going to be all right.
Is it?
Yep.
Oh, that's good. And then the one they call the Muntrees one.
Muntrees, they should be. Muntrees are, Kunzea, they're fine. They're tough as old boots.
Oh, okay, because they're quite a bit crisped up. Maybe it was just the shock of the first lot of sun.
No, both of those should be fine, Sarah. Just up the water a bit, like water them in the morning, give them a good soak every day. And they're pretty tough customers.
Right, okay. And I've got a grafted finger lime. I'm wondering whether to pot it or to put it into ground because I'd hate for it to die.
You're in Darlington, so at least you've got some soil. It's not beach sand.
Yeah.
They're not too keen on a cold winter. I would get them going in a pot first, actually. So keep them in a pot for like 5 years and then you could plant them out.
Okay. And the one other variety I've got is the Atherton raspberry, the Rubus probus. You heard of that one?
Yeah. Oh, I'd never put any raspberry in the ground, actually.
Right.
And if it's from Atherton, they need high humidity, lots and lots of water, no hot easterlies.
Mm-hmm.
I'd keep that one in a pot.
Dappled shade,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, in a pot.
There you go.
Alrighty.
Thanks, Sarah.
That's great. Thank you. Thank you so
much. Thanks, Sarah.
Special edition of Roots and Shoots today. We have Dr. Daryl Hardy in the studio with us today. So if you have critter questions, bugs, psyllids, thrips,
grasshoppers.
Is the psyllid a thing?
I found the spider.
Oh, what is it?
Well, it's in a...
This is for Peter in Kensington.
Yeah. It's in the... Well, they're saying it's in the genus Erophora species.
Okay. Yeah.
But then that's been renamed to...
Of course.
Yes, to... The Australian species has been moved from to Hortophora.
Oh, okay.
So I think we just call it the night spider.
I think the night spider is a perfect name, and it's a beautiful looking spider. It has quite exceptional hairy legs.
That's right. Mm. And if you're into hairy legs, that's the spider for you. Amber, it's yours? Amber's not saying it. She's
as a menopausal woman, I'm not saying anything about my hairy legs.
No, we're talking about spiders.
Oh. Yeah. It's late.
But, you know, if you have really hairy legs, then you'd be – look, because spiders use all the hairs on their legs to feel vibrations and wind direction and all sorts of things. Mm. I think you'd be ahead of the game if you had hairy legs, myself.
Just imagine
personally.
Amber with her hairy legs and playing Beach Boys, Good Vibrations.
Yeah, absolutely.
You'd just be electric.
She'd be in a whole different world.
That's right.
I feel we're heading for trouble, everyone. I have a lovely text from Mal in Geraldton. He texted in a while ago. He wants to know if these are going all right. Potted them 3 weeks ago. Looks like a washing machine plant. Look, he's got them next to his washing
machine. French pennies.
Oh.
They're just starting to shoot leaves now. Yep, they're fine. He definitely has a thing for washing machines. Yes. I don't know why you'd have your washing machine out in the garden.
It's a piece of modern art.
Yeah. Anyway, no, they're good.
There you go, Mal.
They're doing well.
Great job. Mm. And Greg is in Mount Lawley. What's your question for Sab? Greg?
Yes, it might sound a bit strange, but I bought some spring onions at the local supermarket.
Yeah.
And they had roots on them.
Yeah, thought, of course.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. Well, so I've got a jar of water, stuck them in there.
Yeah, and they've shot.
And they started to grow.
Yep.
Yeah, but then some of the leaves or whatever you want to call them started to sprout flowers on them.
Ah, they're going to seed.
They're going very well.
Oh, yeah, they're going gangbusters. They're making babies and everything.
So on behalf of myself and the producer who answered the phone.
Yeah.
Do you just cut them off, the flowers off, or do you...
Yeah, you can, if you want to.
It
depends.
Plant it in the garden.
You can put them straight out in the garden and you'll get spring onions. You need to cut the flower off so they don't put all their energy into making seed. Or you could have them as an indoor flowering plant.
With lots of light.
You need lots of light,
yeah.
Some people do with spring onions, Greg, is when they buy a bunch of spring onions, they cut the bottom off and they just plant them out back in the garden. And you get more spring onions.
Mm. Right. Well, we can leave them on the windowsill with their sprouty little flowers and just eat the parts that aren't flowering.
Yeah.
That's right. And change the water if it's in water because it goes off eventually. Mm. And then
change it sort of every couple of days.
Excellent.
Beautiful.
But good for you,
where,
Greg.
Look at where the flowers are. Can you cut the flower off and eat the part below it?
You can eat every part of it.
Yeah.
Well, not eat the flowers. They look very attractive.
Well, you know, it
each
depends.
To their own.
Yeah, each to their own. But yes, you can.
Look at your thumb. I think it's turned green.
Yeah.
Greg,
well done, Greg.
Thank you for the spring onion story. Sam has sent in a photo of our greffies.
Oh, our beautiful, beautiful, beautiful...
Rogs. We've got rogs.
Yeah, we've got rogs.
I can't remember the little one. We will remember it and say, Daryl's coming around to have a look. These are our great nephews.
Yeah.
Roots and Shoots great nephews.
Well, I thought that rogs was some sort of plant.
No. Well, they were planted in some shape or form, and they're beautiful boys.
Yeah, they're lovely. Thank you for sending that through, Sam.
We love them. Sam used to love my music picks, didn't he?
Oh,
he was our best reviewer. That.
Sandy is in Kingsley. Hello, Sandy.
Hello. Good
Hello,
morning.
Sandy.
Morning.
Hello. Have you seen my picture that I sent in of our red flowering gum that's turned up its toes?
Yes. Yeah, come and have a look, Daryl. It's not happy, Jan, is it?
No. I just wanted to run past you what we did.
Yes.
We planted it in May. It was
about
2 metres.
Yep.
We watered it over winter.
Yep.
My query is, when we had the summer heat, the beginning of the heat in September, it turned up. Just went brown, and then we got it going again.
Yep.
And then November's heat, I think it's voluntarily died.
Yeah.
But we bought it from a nursery in Wanneroo, and it had been in a pot for 3 years.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure whether that was the right thing to do. We want to put a replacement tree in because we want to feed the red cockatoos.
Yeah.
Wondering, what do we do to have more success next year?
Okay. So it's interesting with Corymbias. They have quite a bit of a failure rate. Now, plants that are eucalypts in particular, if they get root bound, they usually have transplant shock when you take them out of the pot, put them in the ground. So that whole thing of sort of twisting the roots around, undoing them, does quite well. So it's probably died from transplant shock. What do you reckon, Daryl?
I reckon spot on. But I've seen mature ones as street trees. They just turn up the toes.
Yeah.
So they, something upsets them and they just say, I'm out of here.
Yep. So they go. So really any of the – Kingsley, you know, the more sandy and coastal the soils are, I reckon the less – better that the Corymbia phospholia does.
Mm.
Just needs a bit heavier soil, I reckon.
Well, they're from that south of Capel, inland Busselton area, aren't they?
Yeah. So I would be looking at another alternative. There is a beautiful gum tree that grows all along the coast that the cockies go to as well, and it is mental blank.
What it colour is flowers?
White cream, coloured flowers, big umbels, the rough barked gum grows all along the coastal strip.
Daryl's going to get on the internet.
Todtiana. Eucalyptus Todtiana, Todtiana.
It's like charades, isn't it?
Yeah, Todtiana. It's a beautiful tree. It has big umbels of big nuts.
Yeah, and it's just been flowering now.
And it's just been flowering like a demon.
Mm.
So I would put in Eucalyptus Todtiana or rough barked gum.
Perfect.
Beautiful tree, love it.
Thanks, Sandy.
One last question. Can I ask you, how much should we water when we put it in? So over winter and...
Okay, over winter, once every 3 days.
Wetter.
Okay.
Well, and wetter soil. Use wetting agent. Yep, wetting agent.
May? Pop it in at May again?
Yep, May, perfect.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you so much for your help today.
Thanks, Sandy.
Enjoy
your Christmas. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye.
Matt is in Darlington. Hello, Matt. What's your question for Sab and Daryl?
My question is, we've got a property up there. We're just finishing it. And a while ago, I put in hundreds of metres of beautiful buffalo roll-on lawn. What seems to be happening is where the leach drains are in the main area, that... It was beautiful in winter, but now that it's getting so hot, it's drying out because I guess there's a lot of stone and aggregate under there. It's not a lot of root. So it's all dying in the main area. So I was wondering, I mean, it says to aerate it, it says to top dress it or whatever. I'm just wondering, you know, will it survive and come back, or what can I do there really?
Well, it's Christmas time, isn't it? And there is the love of Jesus all around us. So
hopefully that helps.
So what you need is not only a little bit of divine intervention, you also need a wetting agent, which he probably won't provide at this point in time. But what do you reckon, Daryl?
Yeah, I reckon wetter, but get a good one.
Yeah, there's a lot of rubbish out there.
Yeah, I'd get I'd go to an agricultural shop and get one they use for market gardens. North of Perth, there's some places there that sell specifically for market gardens, and something rather ionic. It looks like antifreeze you put in your radiator. It's green, it works well. Two doses to get it set up and going, and then reapply every once in a while.
Well, you would, if that's over aggregate, because don't forget that's going to heat up as well.
That's right.
I would do it once every 6 weeks.
Yep.
Put the wetter on, and that's
the other thing I was thinking of doing too is I was going to just set up like a big sort of, you know, the big camping sort of fold out tents.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
just
yeah.
Put it above it and just shelter it from the heat a bit.
Yeah, but buffalo requires a lot of sun.
So at least 6 hours direct sunlight every day.
Yeah.
So unless you want to put it up, take it down.
What about getting a bit of bentonite clay or something into the water it in?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's all clay. What it is, it's all been dug into clay. Everything around there is clay, except for which is great.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's just that the strips that the leach drains are in is like dried out.
Now, wetting agent is going to be your bestest friend.
And what about sea salt, your seaweed stuff? Is that any good?
I'd use wetting agent and a different kind of tonic.
Yeah, it's a tonic. You want to...
Yeah. You want a tonic with all sorts
of... Like you said,
they're
special one they use for market gardens almost. So I'll
Yep. That's the way to go.
Yeah, okay. Brilliant. Thank you for that, Matt.
Now, Matt, on the topic of lawn, we get inundated, absolutely inundated with people that blame everything on the grub.
Black beetle?
Black beetle.
Okay.
The black lawn beetle. And the other thing, of course, is the...
mole cricket?
No. No. They're all right. They're just ugly.
But people don't like them.
I don't know why they don't like them. Yeah. No, the caterpillar, the armyworm.
Oh, yeah. So the lawn armyworm. There's also the weed web moth.
Yes, the weed... So we get hammered with those questions. Yeah. So quick fire three, go for it.
Okay.
So let's start with the webworm.
No, the black beetle's easy.
Okay, black beetle.
I did a trial. We were looking for black beetle to see if they were resistant to insecticide. So I knew the bursar up at Guildford Grammar.
Yeah.
He says, we have lots of black beetle in our tennis courts, the grass tennis courts. This is 30 years ago. So we went up there and I said, well, where are they? So I just put the sprinkler on and all the black beetle came out of the turf.
Yep.
We estimated there was 400 per square metre. They were everywhere. We picked them up, took them back to the lab and tested them for resistance.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is the courts looked magnificent.
Oh, they were aerating the soil.
Yes. So the couch grass was growing so quickly. The black beetle were feeding on the rootlets.
Yeah.
But the grass was growing so fast it didn't affect it. So, yes, black beetles, when you put the water on, they come up and people, it's guilt by association. It's not cause and effect.
Right.
Okay, causation is the thing.
Circumstantial evidence.
That's right. Yes, that's right. They're there, so they did it. Now, if you put a brick on the lawn and it was dead, the brick did it.
There you go.
Yes. Okay?
But there's lots of black beetles people get. Not so. So they're Heteronix errata, I think, something like that. They're from South Africa. They got here about 40 years ago.
Yeah. The magpies eat them.
Yes, they do. Mm. And the magpies, tennis courts again, at night, people playing tennis, the lights are on, attracts the black beetles.
Ah.
And the birds hang around at night and grab them too.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on.
To the weed web moth. Yeah. And there's a sod
worm.
There's a couple of them. So one has the weed web moth forms webbing and a tunnel.
Yep.
And the sod something or other, sod moth, the grub does too. The lawn armyworm actually just burrows, right? So they can, on some soft couches and a few others, they do a lot of damage. The sod web moth, I've seen that do a fair bit of damage on buffalo too.
Mm-hmm.
So they just come out every night and graze it and you get these dead patches. So you can try and outgrow them. So good fertiliser regime, good watering regime, good wetting regime. You can get on top of them, but you can actually apply insecticides too. And you can try the soft insecticides, but you'll have to spray them more often.
Mm.
And you can try the heavy insecticides, and I won't mention what they are here, but they work really well. But I would not let your children or your dog on the lawn for a while, like a couple of weeks after you've put them. So try outgrowing.
So what happens if the magpies eat those grubs with the heavy insecticides?
Yes, they could die.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
I've seen ducks at a golf course. We had the golf guy, the greenkeeper, ring us up and said, had some very upset golfers at 6 o'clock this morning. They chipped up to the par three. It was on a rise and there was a little pond next to it and the ducks had come out and eaten the armyworm overnight and all the ducks were upside down with their legs in the air.
Oh, that's such a sad story.
So we went through with him working out an insecticide he could use because he has to keep the greens pristine that didn't affect the ducks in
but
future.
But the home gardener doesn't need to do that. So don't use those nasty pesticides.
That's right. And that's why I didn't mention them by name.
Yeah. Well, you can't anyway because we're the ABC.
I know, but I could use the...
You could give hints.
I could use the chemical rather than the...
Ah, yes, that people won't remember.
Yes. Yeah. Well, they'll go, that's a long name.
Right, let's knock off a few calls.
We diverged, didn't we?
You haven't, no, but it's important because we get those calls all the time. Okay. And I'm going to make you earn your enormous wage.
Of water. Yeah.
Shane is in Gin Gin. Hello, Shane.
G'day, guys. This time every year, I get the leaf-cutting bee.
Oh, you're so lucky.
Yeah, but he's going to say on his roses and doesn't like it.
Yeah, you know, you're lucky, Shane, because that's a... They use the leaf to make a nest to put their little babies in. Oh, no little babies.
I've been trying to grow a grapevine over a courtyard because it gets really hot in summer. I thought that'd be the way to go.
Yeah.
And cool in winter sort of thing.
Yep.
With the leaves. But, yeah, it's just a disaster.
Well, now the thing is, are you sure it's are they those beautiful, perfect circles, semicircles in the leaf, or are they just being chewed?
Yeah, I've actually spotted them. It's sort of segregated margins, I guess you call it. They're quite large ones. I didn't know what it was before, and then one of the local guys said, "Yeah, you got the leaf cutting bee." So I'm assuming that's what it is.
They usually don't defoliate that much.
It depends if it's the only grapevine.
Yeah. Oh, the only grapevine in the village.
Yeah, we're 30 k's out of town. So
oh, you are the only grapevine in the village.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I would suggest, and this is more down Darryl's avenue, is I would suggest you fertilise it and water it more so it keeps making more leaves, because they only breed for a very short period of time, Shane.
Yeah, okay.
What do you reckon, Darryl?
Yeah, I mean, yes, you can use nasty chemicals, but I wouldn't use the nasty chemicals. I would try and outgrow them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. And just think that each one of those girls has a lot of work to do. She has to cut the leaf, roll it up, have the babies, raise the babies. The boys bugger off and do nothing.
They go to the pub.
Yeah, they go to the pub and hang off something and just group together.
Yeah.
And then when all those young larvae hatch, when they come out as little girly bees, all the blokes that have been at the pub for the last 2 months just come and give them a good going over, I have to say. So,
she has a wonderful way with words at this time in the morning, doesn't she?
Yeah. I don't even want to ask what that's a euphemism for.
So do they have a life cycle? Like, is it only a certain time of year?
Yeah, like, absolutely. So they're dormant in winter. So this is their breeding season. It's a very brief season, and they just use the leaves as a nest. Once they lay their eggs in there, the females bugger off because they've done their job, and then their life cycle is, what, 1 year, 2 years? What's their life cycle?
Probably 1 year.
1 year? Yeah, yeah. So, and then when the babies come out, they're usually virgins, and then the boys go, oh, party at number 46, grapevine, and they come on down. Yeah. So it's a very brief season, Shane.
But the interesting thing is there's some people that will be jealous of you having leafcutter bees.
I would love to have leafcutter bees.
There we go. Yeah, okay. That's bug expert
I'll come
Sabrina
up to your
Hahn
place, Shane.
You'll be very welcome.
Oh, Shane, thanks for calling in.
No worries.
Enjoy your bees.
Yeah. We're in our grefew.
Yes.
Cassius.
Cassius, it is Cassius.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you, thanks Sam. Thank you in advance for forgiving us for forgetting Cassius's name. We're old. Sue is in Esperance. Sue, are you old?
Yeah, getting there.
We're all getting there.
Look, I'm sorry it's not a bug question. They're all welcome at my place. Apart from bloody March flies.
Well, they're early then if they're there then now, aren't they? It's not March.
No, we haven't got any yet, touch wood, but I'm right near a tree, so I will.
Mm.
Now, I've got this massive plant. I sent through a photo.
Yeah.
I have tried to look for it online, can't find anything that looks the same. The leaves at their widest point are like, oh, God.
I know. It's quite common. It looks like the, no, it looks like the evergreen Fricrea. What do you reckon, Daryl?
Yep.
Do you think Fricrea?
I think you're swearing at me, but I'll go with that.
So,
I'm five and a half foot. It's way up. It's got to be 7 foot.
Yeah, yeah. They're huge and they have very pointy, spiky, nasty leaves.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, anyway, so what do you want to do with it?
Well, I'm waiting for a flower. Am I going to get one?
Yeah, they can take 15 years to flower.
Okay. Oh, look, it's green. It's filling up a spot.
That's my girl. That's what I like.
That was easy.
And they, very few bugs attack any of those because of the waxy, thick outer skin.
Right. The toughest.
It's beautiful, tough. Sue.
It's
just arrived on its own.
So someone's had seeded, the birds have got the seed and delivered it to you for free.
Amazing.
Okay. Mm.
And so can I look it up? What's the name of it?
Frucrea. Frucrea.
Okay.
Yep.
Frucrea. Yep. Okay. I'll look it up.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody.
Beautiful. Thank you, okay.
Very
thank
young.
You. Daryl, do we have, sorry, do we have, I know we've got to get through some calls, so you have to get quick. Cicadas. Have we got cicadas in Perth? Because I found the husk of.
I heard one, the old TikTok.
Yeah.
I heard that just the other day because I haven't heard a lot of TikToks recently, but I heard one and my wife said she heard one too. So let's hope we're going to have a good TikTok year.
I hope so. Love cicadas because I saw the husk when they've obviously growing.
Izzy is in Geraldton. What's your question for the game?
Hello, Izzy.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, beautiful. I've got a question. We planted a eucalyptus, I think it's the
Lecoxolin.
But it wasn't like a full one. I think it was like maybe the rosea variety as well.
Yep.
But we planted that last year just before Christmas and it was probably about a metre and a half or so tall.
Mm-hmm.
And in this past year, it's shot up. It's like almost 3 metres tall now.
Yep.
Which we're very happy with, but it's not really stable. It's not, there's no strength in the trunk.
It's a bit wibbly wobbly. Yep.
Yeah, very wibbly wobbly. And, you know, with the weather up here, we thought, you know, tying it up would help to keep it support because we just thought that would be the way to go. But now it's not really wanting to stand up so much on its own trunk. So there's a lot of growth all the way. Like there's branches coming out the bottom, there's branches coming out the middle, there's branches coming out the top. I sent a picture through. But I was just wondering how the best bet is to get that strength back in the trunk. Do we need to trim the edges off to focus the growth on the top or?
Yep. So Daryl and I are making all sorts of hand signals to each other here across the board and we're all doing the same thing with triangulation of some poles going in the ground so that it can move a little bit but not too much. Now, at the end of summer, cut some of the top off. Cut some of the side branches off, which encourages it to shoot further inward.
Yeah.
Now, what happens is over time it will develop a much better root structure if you allow it to move a little bit but not too much. So you put three posts in the ground and then you make sure that they can move a bit to each side. But so you put, what do you call it, Daryl? You put,
bandage.
Yeah. Ties.
Zip ties.
Yeah.
No, not zip ties.
No, soft because you don't want to damage
your stocking.
Pantyhose.
Pantyhose.
Well, you can buy actually the tape.
You can. You can buy tree tape. But at the end of summer, definitely give it a prune.
Yeah. Okay. And the prune the edges.
Yep. The side branches and the top. Yep.
Yep. Cool. Side branches and the top.
Yep.
Cool. All right.
Beautiful.
Thanks for that, Izzy.
Thanks, Izzy.
Thank you. Louise has a lovely suggestion for us. She says, hello, lovely Saturday morning gardening crew. Can I suggest that the word coolbardie is used instead of magpie? The word magpie was given as the Australian magpie reminded the white settlers of the English magpies. They are different birds. Coolbardie is the beautiful Noongar name. That's a lovely suggestion.
It is a very nice suggestion, and we can educate people what coolbardie means.
We can do that. Let's give it a go, because I do love the
Derby. It's
Yorgan.
Like the WA Christmas tree, which is the mudjar tree.
Yeah, beautiful.
God, they've been sensational this
good winter
year. Winter rain, the old mudjar tree is just flowering. And the red flowering gum and the jacarandas.
And your white eucalypts you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. The Todtianas.
Absolutely gone nuts.
So, and gophers, they've gone bazonkers.
I'm back at the tennis match again then. Carmel is in Guildford. Hello, Carmel. What's your question for Sab and or Daryl?
I've probably forgotten now because I've been so entertained with the man possibly. with the FRU, I thought, oh, my God, what's my question? Gall wasps.
Yes.
I've been running at my own little experiment.
Ooh, good. Do tell.
Well, because my lime tree is running out of limes because I have to keep cutting it down because and then my gin and tonic's up the same.
Oh.
So I thought, I'm going to spray these little so-and-sos. So I got out just a thingy out of the shed, pest spray thing, and I squirted them. And I kept squirted some and I didn't squirt the others. The ones that I squirted have all started oozing gunk.
Are you squirting the galls or the actual wasp? Yes. The galls.
No, the galls.
Okay, yep.
And so do you reckon that's going to work?
If you're squirting the galls and you're killing them, then you've killed the gall wasp larvae, but the gall's still there. So that's the thing that's causing the damage. So that, yes, you will stop some generating for the next generation, but will you stop them all? And that's the thing. They're going to come back. See, and depends how big your tree is and if your neighbour's got some. So they fly about 50, 60 metres. That's about the length they'll move each generation. So if you spray all yours and then they still hop in over the fence, you've wasted your time.
I know. That's what they're doing.
You got to, I want everyone to be kind, and if they have fruit trees and they're not going to look after them, move on, I say.
There we go. Thanks for that, Carmel. Logan has a question for Dr. Hardy. Good morning, Logan.
Morning.
What's your question for Dr. Hardy?
I was just asking about these beetles that get in the pool. And I was wondering what they were.
Ah, well, there's...
When it comes to... Are you able to tell your mum to turn the radio off, Logan?
Oh, no, sorry, I have it going in the header.
Oh, it's in the header.
All right.
Ah, it's Logan. Hello, Logan. Okay, so
there's so many beetles they could be
attracted at.
We need a picture.
Yeah.
And we're really lucky. We've got a really good Andy Andrus Zitor from Hungary who works here. He's our taxonomist at DPIRD. He's fantastic. He loves beetles. And there's just so many species of beetles. They make up so much of the
Logan,
species.
You need to download the My Pest Guide Reporter app.
Yep.
Take a picture of the beetles, send it to them, and they will tell you which beetle you have.
Oh, yeah, Roger.
So My Pest Guide Reporter app, which is actually developed by Daryl, who sits here before us.
Do you have to pay for it? Or is
it's free.
It's all free.
All free.
You're doing a great service by reporting. So the people in ag can find out where species are. So it all helps in the future of working out where species are. And if they find you send in a picture and it's an exotic, then we can get on top of it early. So
and it might be named something with Logani in it.
Yes. Could be, yeah, if it's a new one. So, yeah, happy snapping.
What did you?
That'd be awesome.
Terrific. Logan, thanks for calling from the header. It's lovely to chat.
Yeah,
all right.
See ya.
See you, Logan. Monosyllabic young.
And to anyone who's on a header today.
Yeah.
I hope you're okay. Take care of yourself in this heat.
Water. Drink lots of water.
Lots of water. And hopefully
get in the pool with the Beatles.
Get in the pool with the Beatles.
Absolutely.
Darryl Hardy, thanks for coming in and being part of the gang today.
Thank you for inviting me. It's amazing.
You've got astonishingly good gardening knowledge, it turns out, and you and your bug knowledge. Mm. Hey, we've got a blue banded bee in our
well done. At the moment. Got tomatoes for them?
Yeah, we have. Yeah,
there you go.
Our best crop in years.
Yeah. Good
Andrew
pollinators.
Is incredibly excited about it.
And flies.
And we've got good chickens and a couple of willy wagtails are going in and eating all the big blowflies from the chicken poo.
Good.
So we've got, it's like permaculture, man.
Woohoo!
It's not.
Go, you hippie thing.
It's 10 o'clock.
Grow
I'll
those hairs
week.
On your legs.
Bye. Thanks for listening. You can join us live on Saturdays from 9 o'clock.
Head to abc.net.au/Perth.
Or listen on your radio to ABC Perth on DAB Plus or 720 AM.
You can text your questions in on 0437 922 720.
Call us in the studio on 1300 222 720. Roots and Shoots will be back midweek to answer more of your gardening questions. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating.
And share the episode with all your friends.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.